Croatian Serb rebels to surrender falls through. A defense lawyer has a new Oklahoma bombing theory. The House opens its Whitewater probe. Good morning for Bill Lynch. This is Frank Settapani with a CBS World News Roundup. Croatian soldiers celebrating a victory over Serb rebels may have been jumping the gun. From Zagreb, the BBC's Mark Laity reports that the rebels refused to turn over heavy weapons in exchange for safe passage to Bosnia, and Croats resumed their offensive in the Serb-held Krajina.
There are reports of Croat army looting of refugees' property, and Bosnian forces in Bihać have attacked and cut off the only exit route into Bosnian Serb territory. The route is also said to be under shell fire near the town of Drvar. The Croats are claiming 4 airstrikes, not confirmed by NATO, on Croat towns, and said they were suspending humanitarian passage of refugees because the Ukrainian Serbs were abusing it.
UN relief official Chris Janowski is worried about those tens of thousands of civilians trapped in Croatia.
They are looking toward a very, very bleak future in some refugee homes. They are facing basically quite a miserable existence. So like every such exodus, it's a human tragedy.
Boris Yeltsin, back at work for the first time in a month, is trying to play peacemaker. Jonathan Sanders reports from Moscow.
Yeltsin immediately plunged into the international diplomatic fray, inviting the presidents of Serbia and Croatia to visit him in the Kremlin. Yeltsin wants to stop the fighting in the former Yugoslavia, and he believes that he's in a good position to do so.
Yeltsin's work won't be easy. Columns of Yugoslav army tanks rumble toward Croatia in a show of force, apparently designed to warn the Croats not to go after any more Serb-held territory. The lawyer representing Oklahoma City bombing suspect Timothy McVeigh expects a grand jury to indict his client, Terry Nichols, and Army buddy Michael Fortier by the Friday deadline. But Stephen Jones claims new evidence points to someone else as the real bomber. It's a severed leg wrapped in a military camouflage that was found in the bombing ruins.
There are no unaccounted for missing persons. And if there is a limb that is not matched up to anyone else, then it would suggest that that person was the bomber.
Jones claims an indictment against Fortier would be a sham to get him to say that he helped McVeigh case the federal building.
He has repeatedly said that he's innocent, that he knows nothing, and I know that the government has put enormous pressure upon him and his wife. But I rather suspect he may stand firm and just not tell them what they want to hear.
Newsweek magazine reports that the FBI may have a partial set of fingerprints from the Unabomber, who's suspected in a series of attacks over 17 years that have killed 3 people and injured 23 others. As the Senate begins a fourth week of hearings into the death of White House lawyer Vince Foster, the House is opening its own Whitewater investigation into whether the Clintons benefited from the 1980s Arkansas land deal.
Whitewater is about the arrogance of power, conflicts of interest that are self-evidently unseemly.
The man in charge is House Banking Committee Chairman Jim Leach.
The White House has contended that the Clintons were passive investors in Whitewater. The facts are otherwise. Documents the committee is releasing this week demonstrate that the only passive investor in Whitewater was the taxpaying public.
Rob Armstrong has more from Capitol Hill.
The House Banking Committee will focus on the failure of the Madison Guarantee Savings and Loan of Little Rock and the relationship of President and Mrs. Clinton to the S&L and its one-time president. But Democrats are already crying foul. Henry Gonzalez of Texas, the ranking Democrat on the House Banking Committee, says the deck is stacked against the...
There won't be one single witness that would contradict or even explain the Republican story. So we'll have a week of accusations followed by an announcement that more hearings are needed because we have to have, quote-unquote, full disclosure.
Republicans say it's time the truth about the Madison Guarantee case was exposed, and they note that the Democrats are entitled to a day of hearings when they can call their own rebuttal witnesses. Gonzalez called that a case of justice delayed, justice denied. Rob Armstrong, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
This is the day longtime friend of the Clintons and former number 3 Justice Department official Webster Hubble is due to report to a federal prison near Cumberland, Maryland, to begin serving a 21-month fraud sentence. The young woman who accused Congressman Mel Reynolds of having sex with her when she was a minor, then changed her story, is scheduled to testify today at the Chicago Democrats' trial. 19-year-old Beverly Hurd spent 11 days in jail for refusing to take the stand. An oddball genius is waiting in the wings at the O.J. Simpson murder trial. CBS News correspondent David Dow has that.
It could be the most colorful and combative confrontation in more than 6 months of testimony in the Simpson murder case. Prosecutors versus a Nobel Prize winner and his quirky lifestyle. Simpson's lawyers have hedged when asked whether they would call to the stand Carrie Mullis, who invented a popular DNA testing method that figures prominently in the evidence against Simpson. Prosecutors will press Judge Ito for the right to question Mullis about his fondness for young women, surfing, and LSD. CBS News legal consultant Paul Monas thinks Mullis could still be a plus for Simpson.
Here he's got a witness in the courtroom, a witness who's been referred to in the evidence, a witness who is the godfather of this science, and to not to call him, I think, would perhaps be harmful.
Mullis has been in court during 3 days of testimony by Denver microbiologist John Gertis, who's expected to finish his testimony today. Mullis, like Gertis, is expected to criticize the use of the PCR testing method he invented in criminal cases. David Dow, CBS News, Los Angeles.
20 miles northwest of Palm Springs, residents of Morongo Valley, California, are preparing to leave town ahead of a wildfire that's already scorched about 30 square miles of brushland. Emergency facilities have been set up at a local high school in the event that evacuations are necessary. Firefighters hope to have the flames contained by tonight. The fire broke out last Friday. A Mankato, Minnesota hospital is fighting an outbreak of Legionnaire's disease. WCCO's Tim Ryan reports.
By the end of the weekend, at least 23 cases of Legionnaire's have been reported, and one man was dead. The outbreak was traced to contaminated air conditioning cooling towers, but a bleach and water solution made them safe again. Still, infectious control nurse Jane Schweikert says new cases of the pneumonia-like disease are to be expected.
The risk of new transmission occurring is just not there, but that doesn't mean that we won't see new cases because of the incubation period, which is about 7 to 10 days.
Six victims remain hospitalized, two in serious condition. Tim Ryan, for CBS News, Minneapolis.
Mickey Mantle's release from a Dallas hospital is being delayed. Doctors say he may need more blood transfusions to fight anemia, which was brought on by post-liver transplant chemotherapy. The Los Angeles surgeon, who's scheduled to perform a life-saving liver transplant on the actor Larry Hagman, plans to hold a press conference today to disclose a new development in that case. Hagman, like Mantle, is 63. General Motors will spin off Electronic Data Systems, the computer services company it bought from Ross Perot for $2.5 billion back in 1984. On Wall Street, after the first 30 minutes of trading today, the Dow Jones Industrials were ahead 11.61 at 4695.07. The time now is 10 minutes past.